Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 129 for June 9th, 2020. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So today I have arranged for Samantha Leduc to be our guest today, and Jim, the option professor, will be moderating as usual, and you'll get to see Samantha's screen today. She's sharing her screen, and you'll be able to see her charts and how she looks at the markets. So go ahead and get started, and I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
Okay, great. And thanks, everybody, for being here. We had a pretty good day. They tried to shake up the market a bit, but it hung in there pretty good so far. With us today, again, Samantha Leduc of Leduc Trading, and she's going to be explaining some of her approaches and methodologies. But before we get started, for newcomers, Samantha, how about an introduction and a little bit about Leduc?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for attending. Yes, I am Samantha Leduc, and I'm founder of LeducTrading.com, which is my website, and you can find a little bit more about services and free stuff that I do. Also put up both videos and blogs on occasion, and obviously I am an analyst, educator, and trader, so I am available today to take your stock picks and give you my 2 cents, but I thought it might first be helpful to kind of give a back story on where I think the market is now, especially after 2 weeks of a maddening fabulous run into value and dash for trash plays. Now we are approaching FOMC minute release and Powell on Wednesday. So market started to digest those gains and basically sell off a little bit. We get some distribution under the surface, and it looks like the mock imbalance to the sales side was $2 billion earlier. I think it paired off about $500 million. So profit taking has kicked in.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go through the list here, and then after about half of them, we're going to go over some of the individual markets that you're looking at, individual stocks or whatever. Do you do just the stock market, or do you do options and commodities and currency?
Oh yeah, I'm primarily options on equities. So Okay. Stocks, options, futures. I actually run several books on different time frames: Chase, Swing, and Trend. So the stock review, if you will, to me is only going. I'm only going to be able to help if I know the time frame, because everyone has a different approach, if you will, of their time frame, whether it's one to few hours, few days, few weeks, few months. So I really need to know time frame to be able to give a better assessment. And on that kind of like intro, I do trade for a living, so I support clients to do the same. And that's always the first question I ask: what's your time frame?
Yeah, so that would be very important, because obviously you don't want to do short term tactics with a long term horizon, right?
And it won't help. And I also have retail versus institutional time frames. And size and liquidity are so very different. I also trade options. So this is a very different beast, if you will, from, although it's based on the underlying asset, but it is still a little bit different. So I need a little bit more feedback as it relates to, do they want time frame and also their vehicle for trading?
Yeah. And one other thing would be that some people may have more than one bucket, meaning they have enough money to do a number of time frames, right?
Correct. And yes. And actually, there are lots of strategies. I have two trading room moderators, and one runs an advanced option book on my site, and the other a quant book. So there are lots of strategies, lots and lots of ways to make money in the market. The trick is not to lose it.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get started here with the list. The first one on the list is Tesla, and that's been going kind of nuts on the upside. So what are you seeing on Tesla?
Well, I would love, first of all, can I do a little bit review? Because I'm worried about one market direction. And that really matters, because obviously tide lifts all boats. And then whoever did put the Tesla, or folks that did put the Tesla, really want to know what the time frame is, that because we're approaching all-time highs. I mean, whether you look at this quarterly, monthly, weekly, we got a potential double top here. Everyone is very bullish Tesla to 1,000, because that's most likely. But I also have to say that market's getting very frothy. So would love to know the duration for this particular interest. I can tell you my general viewpoint, that when a stock on a weekly is trading above the 10 week, which happens to be this gray line, then stay with the trend. The trend is your friend. Mm-hmm. I use the day time frame for more of the swings. So obviously I'm looking for this convergence, if you will, of above is bullish, below is bearish for a trend, and I want to stay with the current. And then there are all these gyrations gyrations, obviously, that for day and swing traders, we position accordingly. But I am just saying this is definitely a bullish trend, but the market is at a point where I see volatility entering. So, I mean, this is, hold on to your hats, but we've had a phenomenal advance off the March 23 lows Fed intervention. We've had about 62% pullback in VIX, which is its largest ever, which makes sense because it was its biggest increase ever. But we're now getting into a place where there's definitely some volatility coming in. So as much as this looks bullish, we do have the potential for volatility, especially with the Fed meeting and also options expiration next Friday. We typically kind of chop around into the monthly options expiration and then we pull back. So time frame matters. But yeah, so far on the daily, this is 3, 8, and 21, in case you're curious what these lovely little lines are for technical analysis. The fundamental is basically going to be a backdrop of, if you believe in Tesla, it's a cult stock. It is, $165 billion in market cap, which is, by the way, $100 billion more than GM and Ford. So I'll be perfectly honest, I was much more interested in trading GM and Ford, and I'll tell you why, because of this wedge breakout, which to me looked very, very similar across a lot of value plays. Ford had it as well, and that turned out to be a very strong impulse, bullish impulse on these oversold value plays, both GM and Ford. But again, Tesla, big picture, their market cap is at $900 a share is a whopping $165 billion. That is $100 billion more than GM and Ford combined. So I'm not trading on valuations alone, but I have cautionary, let's say, position that Tesla is a better short than a long at this point, but I have not seen any confirmation of a turn. I'm waiting for volatility to move higher. And with that, Tesla typically makes for a very nice rotation, chase and then swing on the short side, at least back to the 10 week, which would be $800.
I have a couple of questions for you that maybe somebody would have. Since we're up near the double top here, do you have a relative strength index that you could show? And it would indicate where the RSI was the first time we were up here. And now it would show the RSI where it is now. And if there was a divergence there, it might be a clue.
I use for this particular, this is kind of messy, but where's my lovely, it's not letting go of it. I just use for purposes of showing anyway, the week, the day, and the hour, depending on the time frame, and then setting up that option tactic. So RSI doesn't really come into play for me. Okay. It is very much the trend and also option flow. There's tons of call volume coming in for the $1,000, for example, for OPEX week. So this is, and Archana, who is in my trading room, she's suggesting a 970 by 1,000 call spread for $8. So that's basically for next week's options expiration. Mm-hmm. It's spend $8 to make, 30. That is if you're bullish, obviously leading into a $1,000 Tesla print. But no, RSI for me is not a big indicator that I'm fond of. I'll look at option flow. I'll look at,
I just thought there could be a divergence, because if you're at a double top, sometimes if the RSI has been very lagging on the new high or the new top, sometimes it's an indication that it's not as powerful as you think, and that divergence could give a clue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to me, I'm just looking at the oscillator, but not RSI, and in particular, valuations are extended. Even though the flow definitely is bullish to 1,000, it seems much more likely that we're going to have volatility come in the next 2 weeks, and I'm looking for this to pull back down to the 10-week, which is around 800.
We're about 87% above the 200-day moving average, which is really meaningless with this kind of stock because it just goes wherever it wants to go. But
right,
in this neighborhood, would you consider some covered call writing or collars?
I'm not. By the way, I wasn't saying the 200-day. I don't look at that so much. I look at the 10-week.
Okay.
Yep, the 10-week's only 800. That's not hard to imagine. I mean, we had an abrupt about face that brought us to the 10-week, back in February timeframe. So I'm looking more at the 10-week as a price target should we start to roll over. But right now, it looks much more likely like the sentiment is higher to that 1,000 print. Overshoot the high of 969 and tag 1,000, and then we'll see what happens. But
yeah, it definitely has great momentum. With regards to Microsoft, next one up.
Strong holding many safety trade, because the market just seems to, as you know, the top five in the S&P are the go-to plays no matter what. Passive investing, it's just buying begets buying. Microsoft, also strong institutional holder, also at a double top, strong. It hasn't done anything wrong. Once it got above the 10 weeks, same thing. It's been just a beast. I am, again, depends on the time frame as far as holding. Is it a few months? It has done nothing wrong. Is it, we're going to have volatility come back in and retest the breakout at 179? That would be more likely my contention. We had value, obviously, take off for the month of May and then really kick into high gear the first week of June. Today, momentum and yesterday started to percolate back up and value came way back down. But for me, this is outside of the Keltner channel on a weekly. We have, again, weakness underneath as far as distribution. There's selling. By that, I mean the market. There's a sold to you that's just started today. And I don't just mean the mock imbalance to the sales side, but we have the Fed meeting tomorrow. Will we get a continuation of the yield spike that started a few days ago? Who knows? This is what I'm talking about for volatility coming in and then Microsoft pulls back. It's just very strong stock, no question, but we have to have this continued sentiment. And I see volatility coming in to the end of this half and after options expiration. So same thing. This to me hasn't turned. It's still strong, but I'm looking for one now.
Mm-hmm. Overall, would you say it's really not a market of looking for a lot of sells, but maybe looking for pullbacks to acquire?
I have been very, very bullish. This isn't an issue. I am now not bullish. So for example, when I was on the show 2 weeks ago, Boeing was here and I suggested Boeing as a long from 120 to 155. I also suggested Avid as a long, which was at $6 and it ran to $8. I also suggested IWM as a long. This mm-hmm. was on Tuesday. And I remember, specifically this was, the 19th. And I suggested 150 as a price target. So I was long. This is not where I'm at right now. I am pulling back my positions. I still have a lot of longs, but I'm taking them off. Mm-hmm. So my point is I'm actually much more cautious heading into FOMC, which is Wednesday, and options expiration, which is next Friday. And I don't want to add any more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've come a long way. And there's a couple of comments that could come out of Powell's mouth that could at least cause some profit taking up here.
And I think they started to do that a little bit today. Not so much. I got to get rid of that incredibly busy chart. But I don't know why it's not taking my stuff off. In any case, I'm seeing this as very bullish, like everyone else does, but frothy. And I'm looking for a volatility type of event. Quick, make all the bulls kind of rethink just as they piled in. We have a lot of retail money that came in. We got a lot of hedge funds that have been shorting these oversold, value plays. And then they had to do some covering. We definitely have CTAs that went long at the top. I just think there's going to be some gotcha moment. Rethink the whole thing and we could come right back down. So I'm not right now bullish. I was when I was here 3 weeks ago.
You'd have a different tune at 3,000 on the S&P than you do at 3,200.
Totally.
Yeah. And you might get that chance, you know.
So it hasn't done anything wrong yet. I guess my point is this was a very nice place when all the moving averages, for example, just talking technically, there's also quant and the gamma neutralized. But the point is this was an extremely bullish technical setup into higher. And then I had some intermarket analysis that was very strong for double bottom and, retail and reflation trade and bought all these things that have already happened.
Occurred,
and now I'm waiting for the next big thing. And I think the next big thing is going to be a rate spike and it's going to create volatility. And these lovely highs are going to be challenged.
That 3,300 area has a gap there. You got a probability. Yeah, you got a probability if that might get filled before the rollover.
I actually really expected this 3257, which is just the bottom of this gap. It would get tagged. Yep, I'm still expecting that. Believe it or not, this was my contention. We would go up and we would grab that 3257 and then have a nice little brief bout of volatility, and then we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Qs are at all time highs, along with lots of the FANG stocks, Amazon, Apple. So that is kind of the easy trade, but I'm looking more at the rotation of what happens should we get a nice big yield spike and it has has a similar formation as Boeing, not exactly. But the point is, this was a nice setup for much higher from that one, when I was here, literally 114, 120, and it ran all the way up to 235. I'm looking just at this particular, thesis of the MOVE index, which is the volatility of the Treasury. This is just absolutely intonating higher, and so is the 10-year, the 5-year, the 20-year. They all look ready to percolate higher, and that's not good for tech.
Right. The next one up is Apple. You know, everyone is looking for the 5G and the new phone coming out. I think people are optimistic that there's going to be money out there to run after that. And today, it certainly had a great day. How do you feel about Apple?
Yeah, they're front running that in for sure. Mm-hmm. That news also this morning that they're going to be doing their own chips and not using Intel for their Macs, I guess, in 2021. Mm. So lots of safety in Apple. It hasn't done anything wrong. Same premise. We get a rate spike. They're going to rethink that. But until then, this is, to me, clear. Sentiment is very frothy. We need an event to cause it to come down. Otherwise, they're going to hide out in Apple. So this has been no-brainer. I don't think this is going to have any... we need to see... Tops are obviously a little bit easier to see because we can see, like you said, the divergence underneath the surface. I'm not seeing a lot of divergence except in the overall market structure, whether it be the put-call ratio, you know, whether it be some of this distribution in selling under the surface, which isn't something that is so easy to see, but I'm talking about, this is a volume indicator, for example, an intraday. I mean, I can see when the market is very, very, very bullish. This is intraday, and then it starts to sell. So same thing, very bullish several days, and now it's starting to sell. So do I want to be buying Apple here at the top? Absolutely not.
Right.
But not even a little.
Yeah, but if you're in there, it's a nice ride, and this would be an area, like I say, you'd probably price out some out-of-the-money calls and see if you could generate some cash, right?
Are you talking about selling the calls?
Well, I'm saying, you know, if you think it's a little bit frothy up here and we're at 345, and I'm sure on a day when it's up 10 bucks, the calls must be expanding a little bit.
So I don't even bother. So to me, this is ride it until I see a turn and then reverse. But as it relates to better, you know, this, of course, was a big move after value had been exploding the past few weeks. Honestly, this to me seems a little euphoric, like it's going to come down. I just don't trust it. So if I was just focused on Apple, I mean, that's my bread and butter, then okay, lots of things. Call spreads, finance call spreads. Selling calls against stock. But I'm looking at it as a new position. I thought that's kind of the gist of it. Would you go in now?
Right.
No, I would not.
I got you. This was a market that people were plowing into, and it's been kind of in a trading range. And I guess the point is it a trading range that's going to resolve itself with another big rally, or is there going to be a correction this summer as people put their money elsewhere? And this is GLD.
Oh, for GLD?
Yeah. In other words, we've been distributing between 155, 165 here, and how's it going to resolve itself? Is it going to blow out the 165, do you think, or do you think it's going to roll over and take out the 155 and maybe give the summer off?
Yeah, I typically like to sell gold into summer, and then I think this will get defended again like it did when we had the massive, you know, correction in March. It was a collateral damage kind of trade where they had to rebalance. They had to sell what was profitable. Gold had been, and then it was very quickly defended. That was a fabulous gift. But I have this thesis, right? So bonds typically roll over and then value and gold. So in other words, this bonds have come all the way back down to the 30 week. I still think they have some more to go, which again, supports my long yield thesis. Gold to me looks like it still has more to fall. And I use some intermarket analysis on that as well, which I can show you real quick. So let me just might as well show you. All right. So did I put this together yesterday? Yes. So this is just, I'll show you the gold, for example, in a minute. By the way, this is value. And why? This is a client letter, newsletter that I gave on Monday. And I do know that I have gold in here and I want to highlight it because it's important. So here it is. So for example, I like to do like your relational study with RSI. I do it with Gold Miners Bullish Percent Index. And this is extremely overbought. This is extremely oversold. Obviously, it can stay overbought, but it's typically a rollover candidate that I'm watching for. So we were sizing this up as a short in gold. TLT was a better short, but nonetheless, they kind of go together, especially when we have higher real yields, which gold does not like. So this is something that I am seeing as a short, actually. Now, we've only tagged. We've come back in. We've tagged, and we could bounce up here, but I still see gold as more of a short, short term, especially with a rate spike thesis.
How about GDX? Obviously, that's a big gold.
Yep, same GDX. Idea. That is GDX, actually. So my point is, I use this for gold and for miners. So GDX is right here. You can, you know, Bollinger had a big, huge standard deviation outlier event where it just exploded down and then back up. This is gold itself. To me, these are softening. Now, I don't think it's going to be down and out, but I definitely see weakness in gold that then will get supported. And they do happen to time often with you know, FOMC decisions, whether, you know, rate cut, for example, gold loved it, right? So I am watching as it relates to monetary policy, but just from an intermarket relationship, it looks weak. So to me, I would like to buy it lower. And another example to show intermarket is this gold continuous contract to SPX. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I was very bullish was this ratio, it's ratio analysis and relative strength, if you will, long gold and short SPX, but this has since come in and it hasn't quite come back into support enough to bounce. So that's another reason why I've been watching this indicator for a better bottom. In other words, a better time to buy gold. Another big picture is gold continuous contract on a monthly, which obviously we're into a new month. Wouldn't surprise me if we come back to this trend line. This is trend line from 2001. This is happens to be the dollar yen carry trade, USD JPY. It is coiling, tight, coiling. So waiting to see how this is going to resolve itself. This past few days, it's been quite weak, not such a surprise, but have a look at the dollar yen. This tagged perfectly and then came back in. So we have a lot of gyrations here with the dollar yen, and it does help to influence gold, and rates obviously influence direction of gold. My intermarket helps me not get excited about gold because it's not in a strong position right now, and it has seasonal weakness also into summer. Having said that, it's still right here at the 10-week. It hasn't broken.
Right.
So it actually hasn't rolled over.
Yeah. As far as the currencies are concerned, I did notice that the euro has jumped above its 50-day and its 200-day moving average.
Yep.
Do you see a possible major turn here, or is it still too early to tell?
No, I don't see a major turn. I'm actually becoming a dollar bull very, very soon. I think this has fallen enough, and we're going to have a reversal in the dollar, which means we're going to have a reversal in the euro. So getting back to that chart, I can show you on the dollar. Here it is. I like this. This is a channel, obviously, on a weekly for the dollar, which influences the euro and lots of other currencies, right? So we've hit this one channel. This, by the way, was the whole May, you know, safety trade. Huge standard deviation move, but then we came right back inside. And by the way, that was the Fed's job to break the back of the dollar with all that QE. So it did its job, but it only came down to 97.96. So this is where I'm going to be looking for a reversal in the dollar, which, by the way, would also pair with my rate spike thesis and gold weakness thesis. I still think gold will get defended, but I think it has some lower price targets to reach before it's a much better buy.
All right, the next one up is really the poster child for the semiconductor index, and it's NVIDIA. It's trading about 50% above its 200-day moving average. So it's had a big run. Is this air getting thin up here, or is there just more to follow?
We're frothy. I haven't seen a rollover yet. No one else has. We get some introduction of volatility and we quickly will. Interestingly enough, there was a last week sell side push to downgrade NVIDIA, AMD, Intel, Micron, and they just said, yeah, we don't care. So obviously this whole section of the market has been tech happy and all-time highs and sideways and waiting for a turn. Do I want to buy buy, however, here after I can, you know, witness that, you know, volatility is coming up off a monthly support level, and I just see a little bit too much on the divergence area as it relates to the volume and put call ratio and sentiment and such, that does not make me want to add anything. Now, it doesn't mean you can't chase it intraday. I mean, AMD had an explosive move higher and looks like it wants to break above, but I don't honestly trust it. So that trust has to do also with, it's just been how many weeks now, if you're just holding, so to speak. Again, time frame really matters, but as bullish as that looks, can it get and stay above? Then this will be very helpful, if you will, for other semis in the space. But I'm not seeing this as a high risk reward. I don't see it as a high reward. I see it as a high risk right now to go into semis at this high level. I would love, I want to revisit it on a pullback. Now, it doesn't have a pattern for me of breaking. It doesn't have a pattern for me for breaking out. To me, this just says sideways, you know, at a time where I think we're going to have an introduction of volatility through higher yields, and that's going to upset the apple cart.
Yeah, sometimes stocks are too strong to sell and too extended to buy, and some of these are in that category, right?
Totally, yeah.
Well, let's go to the next one, which has just had an explosion of users during the virus time, and it's 100% above its 200-day moving average, and the name of this one is Zoom, ZM.
Oh, yeah. Well, the metrics were great on this early. So, you know, first of all, it has been a love child of the growth cult favorites and IPO group since it went through its IPO, you know, high, if you will, after this dip. So this has been a screaming buy anyway since 107 area. It has stayed firmly, even though it's had a big range, if you will, of volatility for this size stock. It has stayed firmly above the 10-week. It's extended. Yes, work from home. Numbers are fabulous. I mean, they had the best quarterly result of any software architect, enterprise software company ever. I mean, yeah. This is going to be, for those who are institutions or buy and hold, they're going to say, oh my gosh, yes, I'm going to buy that. If your time frame is smaller like mine, I have, you know, chase, swing, and trend timeframes where a trend isn't more than usually 3 to 6 months, then I'm going to look at this going, yeah, I want that to pull back. Like, mm-hmm. Yes, I love this. I like spot. I like, you know, a number of other plays that look like they're going to be, you know, platform changes in the industry. But again, it depends on where you want to invest your money and then have it stuck there. I liked this into earnings, but now earnings has delivered phenomenal results. Can't beat them. Right. But now what? It needs to come back. I don't mean it needs to. It can do whatever it wants to. But for me to be interested, I would like it to come back down.
Now I'm looking at a PE ratio of 1,204.
Yeah, right. So. I know. And you could do that with yeah. You know, very few, but like, you know, Roku has a 436 or whatever, but even more than Netflix, but it's an acquisition potential, right?
Right.
There's always going to be the valuation folks. I don't trade just on valuation. I want to look at the whole market structure, macro, intermarket, technical, fundamental, sentiment, quant. And right now, this hasn't done anything wrong. However, I don't trust the market structure right now. And I am predominantly long. So I'm a very, very nervous bull. So that's my point. I would be bullish, but with this trade, I would expect to be wrong because I think we're going to have a pullback. Let's see how it handles the 10-week. Let's see if it can hold the 10-week. Buy at the 10-week.
Mm-hmm. Well, this next one, people are telling me that this thing's come a long way, and this is the week that you should have taken some chips off the table, and today they took some chips off the table, and this is in XOP, because oil has had the big run up to 40, and now people are thinking it might be time to take a pause. What do you think of XOP?
Yeah, I have really liked the oil and gas space, and I'll show you that again. When yields pop, they pull commodities up with them. So I am definitely interested in the reflation trades, but in particular, the ETFs, I'm looking for a particular chart to show you for XLE, and I will get to it. Hold on, patience. Mm-hmm. Because this frames my sector recommendations have been in these, you know, oversold value plays, right? So small cap caps, and relatively speaking, they still have room to go. Mm-hmm. This is on a weekly, still has strength. XRT, I have loved since this double bottom, and it has now come all the way back up. It's basically 45, 46. So these ETFs, I'll get to energy. This is banking. XME is still a major laggard. So it has the most to catch up, in my opinion, from these ETFs that I like, basically, or these sectors, I should say, that I like. But here's the space of energy and SPY. XLE is the larger one because it has the majors, Exxon, Chevron, etc. So I like to measure this, but I could use the same with OIH, XOP, XES. It all depends. They're smaller ones. So, you know, the exploration companies, oil and gas, the drillers. But this is so oversold, and this is not just the negative print for oil, right? We went negative 38 in crude, but XLE was only negative 1% on that day that we had that historic drop. I love this RSI in particular, with this inverse head and shoulders and intonating higher. So for, and now, right now we are still in moving up, because this was from the 7th, it was the weekend. So we had a big move yesterday, and then we had a pullback today, but I still think we have some room higher. So XLE to me is a better horse to pick than XOP, but the whole group, in my opinion, still has room to make up on the upside.
On that XOP, I was noticing the 200-day was around 71, and I see that this week's high has been about 71. Any merit to the using the 200-day as a possible resistance point?
Oh, absolutely. It tagged 200. This is the 200 on my daily chart. I still really like to use a weekly chart, kind of like, you know, grandparent, parent, child.
Right.
And for me, there is a nice, well, obviously, nice is all relative. Did I catch that? Yeah. So there's a gap, 73.5, let's call it. Also the 50-week. If we were to get above that, it'd be very bullish. Right now, I'm excited about this whole space because it was moving, and then it got above the 10-week, shallow pullback, above, and then it broke out. And this, to me, this crossover of the 21 and the 10-week is extremely bullish for a trend reversal. So right now, we're just screaming higher because of the Chesapeakes of the, you know, the world.
Right.
You know, the components that make up XOP. Now today they had a terrible, you know, down day, but yesterday they were up. And by the way, it hasn't even taken out. This move higher in XOP yesterday was 12.5%. We're down half of that. Okay, more than half, but you know my point. So we haven't even come into, you know, some areas where we broke out. To me, I would like to see this obviously settle and turn and then head higher. So for XOP, this weekly is gold for me. If this can maintain, let's call it the 63.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is, for me, bullish above, bearish below, and this now is a channel.
Mm-hmm.
So depends on time frame, but that's also a way to structure an option tactic if you have a belief that we're going to kind of ping pong in here, for example. But I still like the energy space. I think it's done a wonderful job. This was sideways digestion, then breakout, and now it's digesting again, but it's a little bit more choppy and dangerous. This is true.
Next guy up is Stack Technologies, WORK.
Yep. So they had their earnings, and they kind of disappointed. So their metrics weren't that hot. They pulled, this was actually, it kind of indicated they weren't going to have such a good earnings potentially. That was a bearish engulfing, drop below the 3, the 8, and the 21 on a daily. Still above the 10-week though. It's still a work from home play. It's still an IPO that's, you know, liked and all that. And the same day they announced earnings, they announced a partnership with Amazon. So that very likely probably saved them a further fate. This has been really choppy. It hasn't been so easy to trade because you're excited about it and then it just kind of goes sideways, one big drop in March, but it really just started to break out and then it disappointed with earnings. But to me, it's on its way to this trend line. That's a magnet for $30.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Archana, who's my advanced options trading room moderator, she likes selling the $29 puts as a way to, you know, not even worried if she's exercised, but in particular, just that's the strategy that she's using to trade work. But I want to see how this does at 30, basically, as far as, you know, whether to re-up, can it hold that level? Or if it breaks, we're going to obviously, the 200 days is going to be a magnet.
It is another one that was about 60% above its 200-day average, and now it's obviously filling in some of that differential. And as you were saying, if the market is frothy, some of these things I'm I'm mentioning with the differential so high between the longer term averages might be another indication that if anything comes out, there's some gapping down that could occur.
And there is actually a bunch of air pockets below. So SPX has done a wonderful job, no question. And I should say the Fed, you know, with $8.5 trillion and no question, retail accounts exploded, and not just Robinhood, but Schwab also, you know, indicated that 27 of the 30 days last month were their highest volume days ever in trading volume. Their number of new accounts opened was ginormous, I think 168% increase. The point is, there is a big rush of retail money. There is lots of liquidity, or at least sentiment of protection by Fed infusion of liquidity. We have CTAs that they hit their numbers, so they're buying. We've got, no question, shorts covering. The rotation out of momentum hasn't really taken place yet. In other words, the Microsofts and, you know, the growth plays and the internet and social media. But I am still looking at this role that bonds took, value then popped, gold looks weak. Momentum is a little bit too strong to trust, because who wants to chase it this high when we, you know, when we have this incredibly low put call ratio as well. All-time lows. I mean, like off the chart, nobody's buying puts. So that's exactly when a market typically comes in and does a rug pull.
Right.
I'd rather have the rug pull out of the way and then go in and buy.
Right. With regards to gaming, we have one on the list, Penn, P-E-N-N. And of course, you've got DraftKings, which has gone nuts, and also Churchill Downs, which has had good runs. And these guys do online gaming and they do all types of that. P-E-N-N, or even your feeling on DraftKings, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, no. So I really like to break, I like to buy breakouts that have, you know, an established, I don't know how to put this, but bottom fishing, established breakouts that have retested, or a pullback to support. This doesn't qualify for any of it. So, you know, this is, you know, it's met its directive here. I think Deutsche Bank had, you know, it at $33, $34 and it hit it.
Right.
Now they're downgrading it. I think there's very much, they've done their, you know, Barstool acquisition that was just absolutely unrelenting fervor, if you will. But now I think it's tired. This is, it's going to also, I don't know, meet expectations. It's hard to believe it's going to meet expectations. To me, this is run its course. It's time to digest and see if it can, you know, not impale itself and retrace a lot of these gains, because it went up quite fast. And right now it's starting to look like it really got weak by closing underneath the 21.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing any sizable puts, honestly, in it, at least not today. No, they're still all chasers. You know, in other words, short duration.
And I think, I think DraftKings and Churchill Downs, CHDN, would probably look the same. But DraftKings is becoming very popular. What does it look like on the charts? DKNG.
Yeah.
That has big people in it. Kraft up in New England's in on it. And George Soros owns some shares in it. And I guess Disney's in on it in some way, shape, or form, from what I've read. So obviously something's going on there.
It's hot. The problem that I have, obviously, is the same thing. Can it come back? And let's see how it holds. It's very extended. Forget the 200 day, but also from the 10 week. I am, and again, depends on the time frame. If this is, you know, paradigm shift, and this is how all sports betting is going to be done, and it doesn't matter if it moves around 20%, then fine. You have your fundamental thesis for, you know, reasons for trading Tesla long or Penn long, or what was the Zoom long. But honestly, if we have this, you know, economic turn this summer, whether it be, again, missed expectations, earnings are coming up, the buyback blackout period is also coming up, there's going to be a little bit more concern of maintaining these frothy levels. I'm just not seeing in the, DraftKings or Penn how this is going to keep their lofty price target without first coming down, retesting. Then we'll see if the buyers really come in. The sellers don't sell. The buyers come in. They love this so much. But right now you're chasing all-time highs at all-time highs.
Another sector that got beaten up in the epicenter of all the drop, and I'm sure you had some exposure to this. This is the airline industry. Today it had a rough racket. AAL, American Airlines, lost about almost 10%. What are we thinking here? Is it a bear market rally that has come to pass, and that's about all you're going to get out of it? And now it's back and doing work.
I really liked this play, and this was one of the very first positions that I put on when I went. I have this, you know, intermarket that I mentioned, right? So I have done a number of posts from April. We're getting ready for a value setup, and then this week of May, I said violent rotation, and the very first thing I added was AAL calls, and that did extremely well. Case for value over momentum. We had more strength than that, you know, June 1st, which was basically last week. I did a financed call spread and it exploded, 43% the next day. Never expected that, right? It was for July. So this caught a lot of people off guard because it was so explosive so quickly. And now that it's coming, it hit the 200 day and it's coming back. I'm actually in puts, but I kind of regret it. So I've traded this twice to the long side and then added puts. I don't think it's going to work. I think that this is, you know, clearly if I can get down below 17, we can retest this air pocket. But right now I'm not expecting too much more. In other words, I think 16 is a short and then we'll see if it's defended. But this whole thesis was the economy wasn't in question. It was that it was so discounted and that folks were returning to, after pent up, demand from lockdown, they were going to be returning come hell or high water to vacations and travel and all the like. So to me, it was a chart setup for higher, and it certainly did a gorgeous job of moving higher, pulled back, exploded, and now it's pulling back again. I'm looking for 16 and then we'll see.
The next one up is Peloton, PTON. It had a run up. It had a pullback. Today was up strongly, and it's about 60% almost above its 200-day average, and it looks like it's challenging the 49.68 high of last month, May 15. So does it look to you like we're going to blow out that high and keep going, or is this a double test that could fail, or how are you feeling about Peloton?
Yeah, I actually, when this was below, when it finally got actually above the 10 and 21, it looked good, and it had a very large amount of shorts. So my number one thesis for being long at the pullback was it had such short interest. This would be a fabulous play for higher. Then it had earnings and it was great. It also had this nice scoop pattern, but it's been just sideways, relatively speaking. It had a chance to move higher. Actually, nice little bump up here into Bollinger Bands. If the market can stay constructive, this looks bullish. It's above the 21. It keeps getting defended. Gyms are going back, to opening up.
Yeah.
But fact remains that it did a very good job despite all the obstacles and, shorts, if you will. It's still above the 10 week, which is bullish. It still has a nice amount of options, which I personally like, anything with lots of liquidity, and I can see if there's positioning, further out in time. So it hasn't done anything wrong. It actually was of interest to me. Let's see. Archna noted that Peloton had about 20,000 in call volume for the $50 calls for OPEX. So the bullish bent is definitely still higher. I don't, consider it coronavirus anymore. It's just, it made money.
Well, the other thing also to bring up is the fact they have a subscription business, and anytime you hear the word subscription business, people love it.
They do. That annuity business is absolutely gold. Yeah. It's an IPO stock that has not done, it's a fashion stock. It's an IPO stock. It looks fine. It just, it doesn't look like a short. I want to see it obviously get above and stay above 50 for continuation.
And also, what type of subscription service do they have? Is it sticky or is it a month-to-month deal or something like that,
Yeah, for me, there's not a lot of information in this chart because it's really, less than a year old, but there's a lot of information in the sentiment. The option flow is perpetually bullish and the chart is staying aloft even if we have a soft day. So it's definitely still in play.
The next one up is in the healthcare sector and it's called One Life Healthcare, O-N-E-M. It was up a little bit today.
Another IPO with very little info.
Right.
Yeah, this one is too thin for me. So I would, the health information space, yes, awesome. Not really. What am I doing? E-health, yeah. To me, there's not enough information in this one, either option, liquidity, chart. It's doing fine. It's obviously above 26. It's above the 10 week, but I have no edge on this whatsoever. Sorry. You know about it?
Not really, but why don't we throw out IBB? It's had a big run. It's up near the highs. noise that's been distributing between 1:30 and 1:35. Maybe you could make a call here that could help somebody who's in the biotech sector.
The biotech honestly looks fine, but I'm interested in the big pharma. Like, for example, this little news or rumor that Astra was approaching Gilead proved to not be, you know, spot on. Gilead is actually one of my larger positions. I am very bullish Gilead. And every time it comes back down, I buy it. I happen to do a finance call spread pretty much all the time. Buying it, to me, that's just been the best risk reward for very little as far as, you know, a few dimes of debit and massive return. So I just keep buying this every time it comes back. So for biotech, you got lots of them, right? The world is very big. But my favorite is Gilead. Let's see. Which was, that was the news. And was there something else in the biotech space today that popped up? I can't remember. No, I can't remember what it was.
What about Moderna mRNA? It was the talk of the town, and then it became the scourge of the West, and now it's around $58. What do we do with Moderna?
So this is funny because on my coronavirus plays, hold on. All right. So I recommended that on 224. And the reason why I liked it was obviously it had the buzz as far as vaccines. And now there's a whole vaccine tracker. So you can see which ones are actually doing, you know, what, at what phase. It's a whole bunch of speculation and nothing more. There's no substance, in my opinion, that's really going to produce a vaccine cure. Gilead at least has an actual treatment, but Gilead has also been a widow maker for years. So I have other reasons for liking that over Moderna, but that was recommended on 224 and it continued to behave really well. Again, above the 10, got way extended. And here's a perfect example of when a stock just gets too big for its britches and comes right back. It's still above the 10, but to me, this is very dangerous. But it has been very tradable. I mean, it's had nice wedges, nice breakouts, you know, come all the way back, get the, you know, basically get defended. Look at this Humpty Dumpty on a wall. It's like just hanging on. So, you know, this to me is not a real or viable safe play at all. It's pure speculation, but it's been fun. I just don't have any long-term hope for it. I use it only for trading.
Let's just jump a couple of things in here that aren't on the list, like the healthcare providers, United Healthcare, UNH, Humana, UHM, and then HUM, I mean, and Cigna, CI. They've all had big runs. People have obviously got some gains in there. Is there this thing distributing here and expect a pullback, or do you think it's a pause to refresh and just keep going?
I like to pull back and look at the healthcare ETF, XLV, first to get an idea. And above this, you know, 103 is bullish, below is bearish. So it's been trying, right? And it hasn't been a go-to sector. It had been, right, since the March lows. I mean, that's stunning, along with XLK and, you know, the fangs. But honestly, until we get some movement off of this 103 area, one way or the other, it just doesn't, it doesn't interest me. I wanna see some movement. So you're talking about, this was a great political trade for a while, but basically it looks extended. Like it's, it needs to come back and support. Which one were you looking at? UNH?
Well, UNH, and then of course you've got Cigna, CI. They all look the same.
And Anthem, they all look identical as if, So to me, they haven't done anything wrong. They're still above. There's Anthem as well. There's, they totally all look the same. So that's why Cigna looks better. That's why I like to look at the ETF primarily to see what's going on here. And I don't see anything. It's just sideways. But it hasn't done anything wrong. But I'm looking for that reversal if we're going to get it, or a strong push higher above 103. Right now, I'm just not seeing any energy in that particular space.
Yeah, kind of in a range. Well, we got about 5 minutes to go here, a few minutes before closing. So I'd like you to, again, just reintroduce yourself. And if you had a couple of stocks you want to throw up there, and then, of course, make sure people know exactly how to get a hold of you, this would be the time we'll do that.
Okay. I'm definitely looking at this yield spike, even though we had a very nice break higher. And then today it came right back down. It's still supportive. It's still constructive as it relates to being above the 10 week. That's dangerous. Now we can shop about in here for a while. Once this 10 and 21 converge, that's a very bullish technical support level. So I called for a rate spike. I shorted bonds. I'm sticking with that. I'm obviously wrong if it comes back and breaks down below 0.65, that's fine. Then TLT is higher. We have another different risk in play. I still see volatility as percolating. It typically moves with the Treasury. In fact, that's speaking of which, here's an image of the move, which is the Treasury volatility. And this is volatility itself. So I'm still of the opinion that we're going to get volatility percolating in the second half of June. And this is the move index, which shows the strength of TNX. I am looking for that. And until that comes, basically, or disproves it, I am definitely looking at not chasing the highs, looking for a little bit of a pullback. Sectors that I have liked very, very much have been in this space of value. And I think they're a little tired, as we saw today, you know, some very big profit taking. But I had identified this relationship between the Russell growth and value down here. It took out the 2009 lows and said, this is just not sustainable. We're going to have a snapback. It's going to be a violent rotation. And we did. So there are still some sectors. It doesn't mean momentum is going to turn around immediately, but I do think it's gone far enough. So we had massive crowded shorts, and they outperformed the S&P. The momentum factor rotation into value. We do have core CPI inflation following growth, money M2 growth, and I think that's going to pull yields higher, inflation expectations higher for reflation trade. Some of the sectors that I still think are down and out, if you will, and can pull up a little bit more would be materials and energy. I think the dollar will come down after the FOMC meeting, turn and head higher. That's going to influence gold. Right now, I think gold is on the soft side and will be presenting some better opportunities for buying lower. That's my kind of market view. Just waiting to finish out these long-sided trades, mostly in small caps, financials, industrials, retail. That's where I've been fishing for the past few weeks aggressively. And definitely, I think there are a few more trades to be had. I am found here at leductrading.com, and I run a trader education service, which includes a live trading room from 9 to 12. Then we have a nice little fun feature of a stock fit exercise class for those who want to jump in. That's totally optional, of course. My trading room moderators, Steve and Archana, also maintain their own books. We do trade alerts, which are brokerage triggered. So any trade that we enter or exit that the brokerage firm fills is then sent to our clients. I also obviously write stuff. It's research, and it has to do with my macro views or the intermarket sentiment, quant, you know, fundamental stuff. That's both retail, and then I have a product for institutional. That's where you find me. If you're curious on some of my social media, I can be found here on Twitter, StockTwits, Facebook, you know, the usual suspects, as well as a YouTube channel, which I'm just trying to kind of beef up and add some content there. So Leduc Trading is the YouTube channel. And I wish you all a fabulous afternoon. I hope it was helpful, and stay safe out there.
Well, there's a lot you bring to the table, Samantha, so I do encourage everyone to go on the website and contact you and make sure you get all the details and see how it fits into the, obviously, toolbox of what everybody's using out there to try to make some money.
Thank you very much for inviting me on. I appreciate it.
You bet. And I'm Jim, optionprofessor.com. So for those of you who'd like to get a newsletter that I call it a weekly update on all the different markets, from stocks to bonds to commodities, etc., just simply email over optionprofessor@gmail.com, and then you can get in the queue and receive it on a weekly basis. Right now, I'm going to be turning it back over to David. And again, thank you very much, Samantha. It was very entertaining and also very educational. Thanks.
My pleasure. Have a great evening. Bye.
All right. That's great info today. So thank you. And just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com, where you can get access to the recording of today's show as soon as I can get it posted, or any of the past shows as well. And just want to give a final thank you again to my guest for today, Samantha Leduc of LeducTrading.com, and Jim, the option professor at optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.